Welcome to the Draft Doctors Podcast, your home of weekly draft content. Now here's Steve, Jono, Cam, and the Statesman.
G'day everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fears, as we battle through the first iteration of buy rounds. We head to Gather Round over in Adelaide. So we've got a full slate of games next week, which is pretty exciting. Going to make life easier for us draft players. We've got a full deck of things to choose from. In regards to streamers, if we need them, you're obviously not going to be missing any players. I lost my home matchup this week. I had Whitfield, Briggs, Powell, Jesse, all these dudes out, on top of a couple of injuries. So certainly feeling the pinch there. Obviously with a good squad, but hopefully you guys managed to get your wins and you got through unscathed, and you can head into some sort of normality. Although then again, we have another couple buy rounds before we can really slip back into the season proper. Pretty exciting. I know some of the draft fans out there on Twitter are NBL fans, so big win and congratulations to the Jack Jumpers, the Tasmanian team, bringing home the title to the island. They're all and you just have to wonder. You just have to wonder, right, with this type of success, do they really need a football team infringing on their basketball team? I really think they could just take over and just have basketball as the main sport on the island. I mean, I don't know about this Tasmanian footy team. Like, let's say one of the opposition captains went in with a head count, right? How many? You'd have to. There's a lot of counting because of. Hang on, sorry guys, the phone's ringing. Again, I'm not doing that bit again. That was a good bit, but sorry about it. Anyway, we're moving on. Sorry if you're a new listener. First of all, leave. But second of all, you have to create these sort of bits when you're on your own and you don't have Sato. Although he shores us, he's not far away. I think. Are we doing worse than the Pod boys? I think they're doing pretty well. They're doing pretty well. They addition through subtraction over there on the Pod. Anyway, we're going to move straight into waivers. That's why we're all here. So, a few matchups we're going to look to take advantage of if we need forwards. Brisbane versus North. You would expect Brisbane get on the right side of the ledger here, but I'm not sure how easy their forwards are to stream. The key forwards have the gravy matchup against North, and it's kind of strange. Like, Danaher's owned. You probably don't want to go playing Hipwood. I wouldn't have thought so. See how you go. Charlie Cameron's gotten off to a pretty not great by his standard start, we'll say that way. Sydney versus West Coast, that's going to be where you want to target. I think a lot more of those players are available. Will Hayward's generally a pretty good one, but we'll get into the actual players in a sec. Oh, sorry. Dossie McLean, always lowly owned as well, so those sort of guys I'm looking to target. GWS versus Our Sons. Again, a lot of those players are super highly owned. Toby Green probably hasn't been very good to start, but, must play in that situation. I think the keys are, Jesse's owned, but then you've got some streaming options with Cadman if you want to risk it. And Riccardi, maybe a couple of the small forwards, but it's pretty hard to trust the second stringers. And Collingwood versus the Hawks, probably not real keen on the Hawks, and maybe even want to attack Richmond with the news that Bolter is going to miss some time. So tough times for the Tigers fans. We're going to kick it off. Seb Ross has to be the number one pickup. He's only owned in 34% of leagues. We're using the ownership figures on AFL Fantasy. If you're in a shallower league, there should be better players available than this. If you're in a deeper league, look, the deeper league guys have been coming out for Faz in his article. And we use 40%. We think it's a nice cutoff. Yes, there's going to be guys who are available in shallow leagues. And yes, if you're in a deep league, I mean, come on, man. We can't be talking about Mark Keane, right? Come on, man. We have to have some sort of cutoff. Otherwise, I'd be talking for, you know, 2 hours, and no one wants that shit. So Seb Ross, 34% owned, 70% of the CBAs on the weekend, no Crouch, Windhag is missing a match, versus Richmond, which is just stonk city. Their midfield is just getting obliterated, so I think he's a great pick. He was subbing that first match, but he's been pretty good since then. Faz did write him up in the Stream Team article. I think he just has to be the number one pickup, and you can just plug and play straight away. Jake Soligo is another player we liked, 29% owned, midfielder for the Crows, got into that midfield rotation, so have a look. I did mention last week, I think they'll try to mix things up, and Sam Berry did get dropped. Rory Laird spent a little bit less time inside. Certainly the contested possession rate was way down for him. They did take some marks, which was nice, but I might be feeling a little bit nervous if I was a Rory Laird owner. It seemed like maybe they preferred Matt Crouch to get the second billing, I guess you could say, for centre bounce attendances. We got Jacob Wietering at 22% owned, had a nice game on the weekend score-wise. Jared Berry, he will add defender status, listed as a midfielder only now, but he's certainly worth a mention with, what have I got written here? Melbourne? North Melbourne on matchups. So that certainly looks okay. Then, yeah, we're getting into the streams like I mentioned before. Harry Perryman's also 39% owned, just starting to come into it. He's sort of always one that he's generally rosterable, but sometimes he doesn't have that good role. He looks like he's back in defense, although there are a few mouths to feed. But Gold Coast Suns, certainly a pretty good matchup for the defenders. So that's where I'm looking. I did mention Mark Keane. There is a bit of activity in that. Oh, we'll get to the injury section, so we'll talk about that in a second. Injuries that did occur, Wayne Miller up, patella tendon gone, so he'll be out for the year, you'd imagine. Yeah, we sort of had a look at Mitch Hinge in the preseason. He had a pretty good finish to the year, and he hasn't been bad to start the year, hasn't been great either. So certainly worth monitoring that position. I mean, Brody Smith still around, still chugging out a half-decent score from time to time. I don't love it, but there should be a bit more ball available down there, so they've got some options. I don't know if anyone's lighting the world on fire just at the minute. Mark Keane did get kick-ins, so there you go, deep leaguers, 1% owned. I know he's not available in your league, but he did take a lot of marks. He had like 7 intercept possessions. It was a good game, so good for him. Sam Durham got injured, subbed out with a shoulder injury, so we'll see what happens there. Probably not. Maybe he's a deep league guy, I don't know. Marcus Windhager got a week off suspension. Our hot pickup from last week went back to being full Windhager. Travis Boak got a head knock, so we'll see if he comes up or whether the franchise comes back. Rampy had a hand bone. Tom Lynch looks like he's out long term, if not the season, with some sort of knee surgery. And Noah Bolter will be missing 3 to 5. So things go, although the Tigers had a win on the weekend, so maybe they're up and about, but certainly doesn't look like good times for the Tigers. And I can only imagine that they may have to go to that split ruck setup, which might not be good for Nank. Maybe key defenders take a lot of intercepts against them. Maybe Dusty just has to be plonked forward. I'm not sure, but it's just bad times for Richmond. Positional moves that happened this week. So we're going to go through a few little things that happen. I know people sort of like knowing where the positions move, where we're going to lay in front of DPP time. So we got Jake Soligo certainly getting a bit more midfield time. Has shown he can win a clearance. He's worth monitoring. He's a good player. Adelaide are off to obviously a bit of a rougher start than they'd like, but they should have some soft matchups coming up, although I think they got Melbourne this week, which isn't what I'd call soft. Matt Kennedy, people are often asking about midfielders who will gain forward status. Matt Kennedy did get a bit more midfield time this weekend, but he's one who looks like being a lock to get forward status. So he might get it, and then maybe, I mean, he's obviously going to have Sam Walsh come back at Carlton, so there's probably not heaps of mid-time available for him. But maybe, you never know, if they have a couple of injuries, Matt Kennedy gets forward status and then rolls back through the midfield. I'm not sure, but he's certainly worth a look. Jordan Ngoi, he's been a really tough own, more than even talking about positional. He's like in the center square, but I don't know, man. It's just been horrible. I don't know what you do with him. If you're in a super coach league, you obviously got draft as a midfielder. I think in AFL fantasy, you can just move on pretty easily, but man, he is not off to a good start. They've got Hawthorn this week, so maybe he gets back on track. If you're not starting him this week, I'm not sure when you are, but it's been really, really bad. He just doesn't do a heap of things without the ball. So no tackles against St Kilda, one tackle against GWS, 21 possessions is his highest. Like, man, yeah, best game of the year was against Sydney. He had 20 touches, 7 marks, 4 tackles, a goal for 89 Dream Team and 96 Supercoach. So he is just tanking in value. They have got Hawthorn then the bye, so it's hard to see good things. It's barely even a glimmer of hope there. So, and they don't really have a good sort of section of easy opponents. So they've got West Coast in round 9. Then they don't see North till round 14. They don't see Richmond until round 20. So I think he's a tough own, man. I think he's a tough own. Tom Mitchell got a bit of a bump up with Dacos spending less time in the midfield, certainly spending more time back. Not that he didn't spend some time in the midfield, but certainly less. So it should be good for Dacos. You'd imagine easier to score. Tom Mitchell, great times for him because it just doesn't look like this Finlay McRae thing's going to happen. Jai Simpkin, another midfielder who should attract forward status, you would think. And we were completely off Simpkin in the preseason. He got injured, so he was pretty easy for everyone to avoid, although he will be owned. What's he going to score? I think it's a tough role to be a good scorer in, maybe in certain matchups. I think this week actually might not be a horrible matchup, but it's tough to like, man. It's tough to like unless there's an injury, which you could stash him. And maybe, you know, LDU's often been injured. Wardlaw's often been injured. I think he got a little nick during this game as well. So there is room for that to happen. So he might be just a nice little stash, but he's pretty tough sledding at the minute. Down at Richmond, you did have Jack Ross and Dow get a bit more midfield time with Hopper out. Gould and the CBAs are down. Liber got subs. Riley Sanders and McRae got some midfield time. Sanders is an interesting one. Probably picks up the forward status, you would imagine. And Bont actually spent quite a lot of time forward in this game. Will it be enough for DPP? It won't be, but he's been a tough iron if you drafted him with that top 5 pick in your draft. Although, you know, it's Bont. He'll be fine. He'll come good. And Elijah Hollins, he had a pretty massive score. A lot of John Jarrett junk time in this game for Elijah Hollins. Really, when the pressure was off, he rocketed up the leaderboard. He should add forward status, you'd imagine. And yeah, I don't know that he'll qualify with enough games. I think he might, because they played two. I'm not sure. This is the third game. Maybe he will if he plays from here on out. I forget what they need. It's either 4 or 5 out of 6. So we'll see on Elijah Hollins. Tweet Freako, he'll tell you. Yeah, it's a tough one there. And yeah, it was kind of interesting. So there was that Essendon St Kilda game. There was over 3,300 AFL fantasy points, and the average is around 3,000. So let's not go expecting crazy sort of things. I thought it was an interesting one to look at because you had obviously a couple of exceptional scores in Riley Bonner and Nick Martin, and you just don't see players get 31 and 29 kicks in a match all too often. The fact he only got 127 of 29 kicks is kind of interesting to me, because like that 29 kicks was actually a higher share of his team's kicks than Nick Martin had. So 13 and a bit percent, only had the 9 marks. But man, it was just uncontested footy city in that game, and the scores reflected it. Don't expect 145 from Nick Martin, 127 from Dyson Heppel. The idea of Dyson Heppel, all the outside players just absolutely ate in that game. Well done to the Bombers for pinching it. But yeah, that can't be the norm. Can't be the norm going forward. I'm super excited to see what happens between when do we get Port and St Kilda, like one of those sort of matches. We got Port and Essendon, that'll be it. Yeah, so we'll see what happens in that sort of match. Port obviously just super low possession, just run and gun, combined against Essendon's not much and not much. So we'll see. We'll see who comes out on top in that match. Anyway, we'll move it on to the Twitter questions. We got quite a lot this week. Thanks, guys, for padding out the show. Ninja Spoon, what's some ideas around trying to trade in keeper injured players? Have spot open for a Doherty type and want to craft a fair keeper league trade? So often in trades, you're just trying to, you go, I need a forward, I've got an excess defender, so you try and match up. In this, you're looking for a specific player. I would just look at their team and try to find what works for them. Doherty, I'm probably not selling too much. He's pretty old, coming off another knee. If you wanted a Kitty Coleman, again, he's not really broken out. Again, another injury. Not sure I love it, but you know, just try to find somewhere where that team's weak and, you know, find something that lines up with your squad. That's all I say. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the final thing. It just has to be a starting point, I think. So always ask the person as well, man. Just if they're a buddy, just send them a message. But yeah, I'd certainly try to find where they're weak, where they could use some help. Adam, midfield re-ranks. How far has Brayshaw slipped? It's not great news for Andrew Brayshaw owners. What can you say? He's lost a bit of mid time. I still think he's okay. You know, 118 round one. Okay in round two. Okay, disappointing against Adelaide on the weekend. And I think, you know, we're dealing with such small sample sizes. This is another thing I wanted to talk about. We're dealing with really small sample sizes at the minute. So who you play really matters as to how you've scored. Like 2 weeks ago, everyone was saying, is Briggs a sell, right? Let's think about that. They'd just come off North Melbourne, who are super, super low stoppage team, right? So there wasn't much for the Ruckman to work on there. And also Cherry's been doing really well in that area. Then Hayden Young plays North Melbourne, and the score was less than what you'd expect. Again, it's a player who, as in the midfield, he's probably going to rely on tackles and contested ball to build his score in those sort of matches. And, you know, the next week, those two guys came out. You know, Hayden Young obviously played Adelaide. I forget who GWS played, but they were more higher stoppage teams. And their scores went up and reflected it. So you had Andrew Brayshaw. They've played Adelaide. Again, he's an outside player. That's where he excels. Adelaide, one of the highest stoppage teams in the league. I haven't checked how many this game had, but I think that's what you're dealing with. He might be a great buy low. I'm still okay with him, but he's certainly not that M1 that I thought he was at the start of the year. Probably maybe a back-end M2. But I still like him. I think it's just a big overreaction. Like, you're not going to expect Riley Bonner to go dominate an Adelaide game, right? Like, he'll cut it up in this outside sort of game. But I don't expect him to do well. What was the match before this week? Collingwood, Geelong. Are they high stoppage teams? So just have a think about what the opponents are like and what their strengths are and where the player is going to succeed. Not every player succeeds inside. Not every player succeeds outside. So we'll see there. See Collingwood, Geelong. Well, he did okay against Geelong, but Collingwood didn't really have a great game. Sort of middle of the pack. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, you stream forwards against weak teams, not against strong teams. Let's just, you know, it's 3 weeks for most of these teams. Breno Stato has fled the country and left me with the bag. The bag is Joel Jeffrey. Yeah, look, he, Joel Jeffrey hasn't happened. So he had 34 disposals in the VFL match that the Suns have played. Quiet first half, big third quarter. Not sure anyone's knocking down the door for the Suns, but I mean, he had a good game. They certainly sent Jeffrey away with stuff to work on. He might be the first cab off the rank. I think there's room for movement. That was a pretty big game for him though, so we'll see. We'll see. Jury's out, man. He could be that dude you drop to the waivers as he gets named and someone else picks him up. We'll see. Mikey, and his Riley Bonner. I guess there was a first part to Mikey's question, but this is the one that's come up. And his Riley Bonner Aaron Hall 2.0. Don't expect this, like I sort of spoke about, don't expect this from Riley Bonner. This is an unsustainable score in an outlandish match. Like, everything broke his way. Good. If you have him, awesome. If you want to try sell high, I'm all for it. I have, you know, I just don't expect it to be sustainable. But good if you have him. That's where we're at. Mini Monk, are the rumors you're converting to a salary cap podcast true? Mate, I don't even play salary cap. There's no salary here. Here, no salary. Ray, who are some good forward stream option? Hang on, I'm just getting another phone call. Just getting a... Holmesy. Yeah, Holmesy. How are you, mate? Yeah, no, I'll talk to you a bit later in the week. I just want to see the break evens come out first. Yeah. All right. Ray, who are some good forward stream options with low ownership over the next couple of weeks? So, yeah, we sort of spoke about Will Hayward against West Coast, Dossie McLean. That's probably where I'm looking straight off the bat. I think Collingwood's interesting against the Hawks. They have got Jamie Elliott had a pretty good game against Brisbane. Actually, Brisbane are a really interesting team. They haven't been great against small forwards. So they have got North this week, so maybe a Zerha is an interesting one. It feels pretty ick playing those sort of guys, but maybe a Collingwood with a Jamie Elliott. Probably not going to roster Bobby Hill. It seems like he's really high impact rather than anything else. Jamie Elliott's always available. Have a look at that. Brody Mychek, I think his kicking was a bit down this week, but he's a tall. So maybe Bo McCreary, those sort of guys. But yeah, probably the Sydney ones are the ones I'm looking at. I think they've got a bye after this week, and then they have another good matchup. Might be another couple good matchups. So they've got West Coast this week, then a bye, then Gold Coast, then Hawthorn. So they're pretty good matchups if you can. I know that bye really hurts, but yeah, it's a pretty... It's kind of about as good as it's going to get, I think. Fremantle, in a couple of weeks, they have a good stretch of matchups, but that might be the best we can do for you in terms of matchups. Sam, Seb Ross and Bramble, scoring sustainability in Supercoach. Well, whilst he has the role, I think Seb Ross is pretty good. I'm okay with him. He's certainly okay. And Bramble. Yeah, Bramble's been solid. Not sure who they've got this week. Geelong, not a great matchup. Then they have Essendon. Then they've got a sort of bunch of good and neutral matchups. So, yeah, I can get around Bramble. Mitch Perkins, what to do with Todd Goldstein? I don't know, man. You got to drop him, I think. He's a split ruck in a low stoppage team. That's like the worst situation you can get. Certainly try to find something better if you can, like a De Koning. I don't know. tough in them ruck streets. Warren Waterhouse, trade one of Wines or Degoe in Supercoach. Well, Degoe's going to have no value. I don't see how you trade him. I'd trade Wines because he's got some value. Aaron, Drew had... Oh, Drew. Willem Drew had equal most CBAs. I know JHF is out, but at what point do I pick him up off the waivers or send some trades out? Wait, is this a salary cap question? Man, is Willem Drew on waivers? I don't know how that happens. He's way higher. And it must be a shallow league. Yeah, pick him up, man. Sambo, thoughts on Aish? Where do you value him this year in terms of average and trade value? Mate, his value will never be higher. That is, I don't value him much at all, to be honest. Like, yeah, he'll pick up defender status. Yeah, he's been a nice one if you drafted him, picked him up. You know, there's a lot of defenders, man, who can average mid-80s, right? And maybe he's above that. Maybe he's better than that. Maybe he's Hayden Young. But I'm skeptical. Could be very wrong. Could be very wrong. If he averaged mid-80s, I think he'd be really happy with it. He's obviously doing well above that at the minute. So we'll see. We'll see, man. Good luck if you picked him up. I'm not sending out trades on him. Like, think about how many rosterable defenders there are, how easy the matchups are to stream, and you're about to have so many attained DPP. Ray, any notable waivers that you can see that may be a chance to gain forward status? Yeah, so Matt Kennedy is available in leagues. Simpkins probably owned, but so Matt Kennedy sticks out as probably the one. AFL Dream Team, what happened to Jono and Cam? Still on the intro or are they still on the show? Man, they haven't been on the show in like a year. Welcome to the show. Major Van Bam, Dersma taking Durham's wing time. Tip of the cap. I think it's just a game that suited him. Bailey Williams worth a waiver or just West Coast? Yeah, he's kind of that player who fluctuates between pool and rosterable. I think there's a bit of just West Coast in it, though. Not, you know, 8 marks. Probably not going to continue at that sort of torrid pace. They had 140 marks on the weekend, Western Bulldogs. 140. That's a lot, man. That's a lot. They are the leading mark-taking team on the back of it, though. We'll see. We will see, man. Wenbys, what to do if you're a Jaden Short owner? Yeah, man. You hope Nick Vlosten retires. Nick Vlosten's killing you. That's where you're at, unfortunately. Gunsy in a keeper league. Oh, and Danrioli as well. There's a lot of mouths down. Well, I mean, they're three good players, right? So... it's just not going his way at the minute. Gunsy, I don't think he's killing you, though. He's not what you wanted, but he's not killing you. In a keeper league with 9 keeper spots, currently in a rebuild phase, should I trade Matt Crouch for Kitty Coleman? If you're rebuilding, you should trade Matt Crouch now. I'm not sure. I think he could do better than Kitty Coleman, though. I would have thought. It's a 14-man, 5-7-1-5 league. Keeper options looking like Whitfield, Jordan Clark, Yo. Man, surely you can do better than Yo. LDU, Anderson, Sean Darcy, Flanders, Bally Smith, Holmes, and Philippou. Yeah, they're good. That's okay. I'd get rid of Yo, man. His value will never be higher than what it is now. And I can't imagine. Matt Crouch and Yo, values are the best they'll ever be. Matt, I would package them up and try get like a good player, one that's not going to be coming off an ACL. Barry the Pelican, is Jack McRae cooked or are the 11 CBAs promising concerned owner? You got to hold, right? You can't... He had 20 touches, 7 marks. I mean, they played the Eagles. The fact they played the Eagles and he didn't get a heap of it in a... Yeah. I can understand why people are scared. But, I mean, it's his first game for the year. 75. He's a forward. It's not killing you. I can understand the worry, but you know you need more than 3 midfielders, man. Riley Sanders will tire over the year, you'd imagine. Treloar's always a chance to get injured. You just got to hang on. Andy, is Willem Drew the modern-day Cam Guthrie? Hey, that's a great call. Could be. The Smith Dog, what to do with the corpse of Jade Gresham? Man, it's Jade Gresham, man. I don't think it was a very good matchup. I'm not sure on that. Let me just check that. I don't think it was a good matchup. I know he's coming off a good score, but last week's scores are gone, man. You got to let them go. You got to let them go. It was a neutral matchup for general forwards. They got Port, which, yeah, I'd just let him go, man. After Port, they've got a string of tough matchups on paper. I don't think he's someone I'm rostering. I did draft him, but I think he can move on. At least, very least, just put him on the bench. Mikey being offered Aish for Daniel and Florent. What are your thoughts? I think I hang on to Caleb Daniel. That's a great offer, though. That's what you should be doing with Aish, man. Richie, Jaden Short by low. Yeah, I'm okay with buying Jaden Short. Tim Robinson, who would you take from Daniels? Is that Brent Daniels? Ainsworth and Rochelle for the rest of the season. Rochelle, probably. I'm a bit worried about Ainsworth, although I've got to say, Ainsworth could be a really... He's probably hitting some waiver wires. He's certainly a buy low. He hasn't been what I thought. But again, they've played in some shitty conditions. Had a good round two against Adelaide. I know it was terrible conditions. Richmond, round one, 13. Yeah. Bulldogs in the wind. I'm okay with buying Ainsworth, but I need it to start turning around. But yeah, probably still Rochelle. I still think something's going to happen to that midfield where he gets a bit of a look in. They're not going to keep scoring 34. That can't happen, man. He'd be hitting waiver wires. He'd be super cheap. Gold Coast, Geelong. He had 70s in the first. That's rosterable as a forward. 70s, then the crappy game. They got Melbourne. That's probably not a great matchup again. Then Carlton again. Maybe it's not a great matchup. Yeah, I can understand the trepidation. I just wouldn't want to cut him just yet. See it every year. Like, a forward then just gets midfield time after it's not working for their midfield mix. I wouldn't be shocked if it was him. Do I expect it to be him? No, but against those other guys, he's the more likely. Stuart Ward, is Errol a buy low? It's a good question. We probably weren't super hot on Errol. I stayed on myself heading into the season, so he's kind of where we think. I reckon he'll crush this week. They've got the West Coast Eagles, bold prediction time. Although I thought he would have crushed on the weekend, so... He's playing a wing role, so I just think our expectations were a little bit out of whack last year. Yeah, he could be a buy low. He could be a buy low. Averaging 95, I just still think it's... I don't think the owner's going to let him go that easily. That's all I'll say. From a keeper perspective, who would you target if you were flag chasing? Who would I target if I was flag chasing? Depends, man. I don't know. Am I targeting an old guy who I'm getting super, super cheap? Because Jeremy McGovern is absolutely crushing right now. Or am I, you know... I mean, Andy Brayshaw's a good one, right? His value's pretty low, but he's still a pretty good keeper, I would have thought. Nat Fyfe can't have much left in the tank. He's probably an interesting one. Yeah. Not Sam Walsh, I know that much. That back is terrifying. Tits Finlay. Early Sexton drafters. Ha, ha, ha. He went second round in my 12, man. Yeah, I think he's okay for now, but, man, that was the problem with going too early. Like, it could be great in the first, but once it went pear-shaped, man, it's going to go real pear-shaped. Sort of like drafting Blake Hardwick in your goals only too early. You wouldn't want to do that, Tits. Ed Galluccio, can anything stop Willem Drew, or is the Brownlow's his to lose? You love to see it. Go Willem Drew. He's certainly filling a role out for them. I don't even think it changes that much once the franchise gets back, to be honest. Might not have the ceiling. 11 tackles, again, pretty unsustainable. But he's certainly scoring. He's going really well. They're a good team. Good for him, man. Good for him. Love to see it. Anyway, that's all we've got for you this week. Hope you enjoy Gather Round. If you're heading over there, be safe. The streets of Adelaide and there. You know, things happen. And order the right drink sizes. You don't want to get shortchanged over there. Jesus, that'll get you every time. Fucking crazy pints and whatever the hell's going on. Get it together. Love Adelaide, though. But enjoy it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.